quite a challenge to follow that, Elizabeth. You know, but thankfully, it's not just me you're going to hear from. There are going to be a few others who are going to be sharing. But first of all, I want to thank you all for being here. It's so nice to have this opportunity to celebrate our 40th anniversary together and to see some people from 40 years ago. Isn't that right, Joe Batten? Yes, yes, Joe, also one of the original ones here. It's good to have you here. And so many others. It's really great. I want to mention, first of all, for those of you who don't know, the banners that we have were made by members of the fellowship, and they speak about the four stages of Christ's life. You have his birth, you have his death, you have the resurrection of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, and then you have the black one at the end, which means he will return, but we don't know when. He will return. So that's the essence of the banners. Now, what's your kids, first of all? 40 is quite a high number. Do you agree? Yeah? Is it quite a high number? Yeah? No. I wondered if anybody would like to put their hand up if they think I'm younger than 40. Good. Extra cake. Right. Is there anybody here that thinks I might be older than 40? Goodness me. Ah, no. You can't hide it with this face, can you? No. No. But anyway, I want to look at the significance of 40 in Scripture, just to begin with. You'll find it mentioned around 150 times within Scripture. Now, it will vary slightly depending on the translation. Some say 146, some say 164. So, roughly 150 times 40 is mentioned. There are a number of areas that we can draw from in relation to our own journey as a church, now that we've reached this landmark. Overall, the number 40 is associated with testing and hardships that we must endure to become more spiritually aware. Hopefully, that's where you find yourself after 40 years, being more spiritually aware. Some examples of Scripture using the number 40 that stress the theme of testing and judgment. Just briefly, in the Old Testament, when God destroyed the earth with water, he caused it to rain for 40 days and 40 nights. Moses was on Mount Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights also. The Israelites wandered around the desert for 40 years. And also before Samson's deliverance, Israel served under the oppression of the Philistines for 40 years. Goliath taunted Saul's army for 40 days. In the New Testament, we know that Jesus was tempted for 40 days and 40 nights, spent in a desert wilderness. And then after Jesus' resurrection, he spent 40 more days on earth. There are many more, but that's just a taster. And you know, for us as a church, there have been many testings and hardships. Our journey has not always been easy. I actually find it quite emotional when I think about it and what we've all been through together. But what we can claim over this time is God's faithfulness. We cannot deny it, God's faithfulness. So that's why I thought it'd be good to hear from a few people about the journey that brought them here. I'm going to invite Irene to come up first of all. She's so looking forward to this, everybody. She's so excited. She never got to sleep till 3 o'clock this morning. Believe that, if you like. But you know, Irene being one of the, obviously, original founder members, I thought it'd be good to hear from Irene. Go this way. You know, and like every good story, even in Genesis, it says, in the beginning, there was Irene. Lean on this. Yep. Yeah, mic. Hold on. Yellow. Do you want me to sit down?
Hello, everybody. It's lovely to see old faces. Happy Easter, everybody.
Did Irene say old faces?
Well, it's lovely to see all your faces. I mean, who would have thought we would still have been here 40 years on? Isn't that a miracle? And Alan... Mm-hmm. Alan has asked me to share about how the church began. And the church began with God. God touching a man who was a sinner and who was running away from his problems. And he touched him in a supernatural way, going through the arches in Castle Carey. Could you believe that? And as he went through the arches in Castle Carey, time seemed to stand still. And he saw two roads in front of him. And one led to destruction, that was the road he was on, and the other road led to God. And he came out of that recognising that God was real and that Jesus was alive. Now, this was a man who wasn't particularly religious and wasn't really looking for God, but that changed his life and that changed my life. That was my husband, George Barr. So he turned the car round and he went back to Cumbernauld looking for Jesus. He felt he had to find the Jesus he had met in the Castle Carey arches. And that was the burning thing of his life, to find the Jesus that he knew was alive. And in quite miraculous ways, God really put people across his path who really helped him and recognized he had a really supernatural experience. And it left him with a real hunger for God, hunger to read the Bible. This was a man who'd hardly read a book. I think the only book he'd ever read was the James Bond book, the first James Bond book. But who started to read about Christian, all the Christian literature, read the Bible, and to seek out people who were looking for Jesus. And, you know, we've been looking in the little house group we're in, we've been looking about, reading about revival, and you'll have heard about revival in Wales and revival up in the north of Scotland. And you hear about people falling to the ground in awe of God, and you think, oh, that could never happen. But that's exactly what did happen. And that can still happen today, and that happens to people all over the world, that God reveals himself to them. But he does that for a purpose. So carry on the journey. It took many weeks, many months looking for Jesus. And we went around quite a lot of churches looking for a church that seemed to have that Jesus that he'd met in the Castle Carey Road. And he couldn't find it. But he continued to go and seek. And luckily, this was in the early 70s, luckily, there was what was called a charismatic renewal going on. And that started in the Catholic Church. There was a great renewing of the Spirit of God, and the Catholic Church became more open. People were wanting to read the Bible and to understand the Bible, and they were wanting to worship God. And they became more open to people who weren't Catholics coming into their midst. So that was going on. And the Protestant side, there was Scottish Church's renewal, so he got involved with that. That was the Holy Spirit was moving there. There was a great movement in speaking in tongues and the Holy Spirit moving. And these two things kind of came together. So my daughter, my eldest daughter, went to a little youth club in the local church in Condoran. And the deaconess was an evangelical Christian. The minister wasn't. He was a minister, but she was an evangelical Christian. So George and I sat one night in our living room praying, and we asked God, Lord, we want to find out about the Bible. We really wanted to find out what the Bible really meant. And the only people we could find who would talk about the Bible were the Jehovah's Witness. And we had friends who were Jehovah's Witness, who we met for a while, and then that just wasn't right. So we sent a note to the deaconess, who was evangelical, and said that we were quite willing to open up our house if she wanted to have a Bible study in our house, because we were interested in finding out about the Bible. So she came to visit us and she told us that she actually had a Bible study in her house, believe it or not, because the minister wouldn't let her have it in the church. Would you believe that? So she had it, and there we met Christians. There we met some Christians. There were some Christians in that church, even though there wasn't a lot, but there were some Christians. We met some Christians. And we met in her house for quite a while. And then she got a church of her own in the earth and moved away. So she asked George if he would lead the house group. And the house group moved back to our house. But at that time also, we had this little group of Christians. There was another little group which was being led a couple of streets away, which was another church that had started a little Bible study group. And that was being led by a guy called Jim McKechnie. Some of you remember him. I think he brought Robert to the Lord, Jim McKechnie. Yeah. He was a lovely guy, a lovely evangelist guy. And they came to join us, and that brought in Leslie Taggart and her mum, and Liz, I think. Did Liz, you come in that? Liz, uh-huh. Jean Grey. Jean Grey, well, the back, Jean. That brought these people into our group and various other people. So eventually that group got too big for the house, and we felt we should move into the community and do some outreach in the community. And we started in the Rannoch Community Hall down at the complex there, and we had a little public meeting, and various people came from other countries. Some stayed, some didn't. And that developed. And then George decided that he would start a priest fellowship up in the town centre. We had to hold the town centre just for a night of praise and worship. So quite a few Catholics came along. And we've always been kind of outlooking. We've never been an inward church. We've never been a church that thought we have it all. Nobody has the whole truth. God just doesn't work with one church. He works in a lot of churches. So we were always outward looking, and we had made some relationships with some Catholics, and George had made some relationships with the priest in the Anglican church. So him and George started this meeting, which was really just a praise meeting. And lo and behold, a young minister from the Congregational church came. And he was a bit dissatisfied in the Congregational church because the elders were thwarting what he wanted to do, what he felt the Holy Spirit wanted to do. So he decided that he was going to throw in with us and come in with us, give up his job and come in with us. And lo and behold, he brought the youth fellowship with him. And that was Mary and John, would you believe it? They were the youth fellowship. Alan and Grace, Tom and Margaret, who else? Who have I forgotten? Various other people. Susan, I forgot you. Various other people came from that youth fellowship in Condorit. So we started in the Congregational church. So we started to grow. And that's when we started to call ourselves Cornerstone Church. Cornerstone Church. Then as time went on and years went on, George had been developing relationships with a minister in Bishop Briggs called David Black. He did some teaching in the fellowship, and he said he was set aside officially as a church. So on the 9th of April, he came and he set aside the church, which was to be called Cornerstone Christian Fellowship. And by this time, the church had a vision. We had to make up a vision statement. The church had a vision. The vision was that we had to be a light in the community that we lived in, that the church had to be a community of believers in relationship with each other and living in the community. We had to be radically different. I mean, as George always said, there's hundreds of churches there. We don't want to be just another church. We have to be different. We have to be radically different than the other churches around. And we've tried to be that. the leadership, the setup of the leadership was set up. There was a leadership council which had women in it right from the beginning. I say this, women have always had a good place in this church. Women have always led house groups. Women have always spoken in house groups. Women have always had opportunities here because God loves us equally. He loves men and women equally. So we were a trailblazer in that. Our job wasn't just to make the tea. Our job was also to be involved in all aspects of the fellowship. And that was a radical part that we were. And as the church went on, growing and developing and the vision developing, we moved from, where did we move next? We moved up to the Antonine, was it the Antonine? What used to be the Antonine Centre. We moved in there for a while, and then we finally moved to Ravenswood Primary School, and we were there for a good number of years. And all the time we were looking, we felt, in a sense, we were meant to wander around, but the aim was eventually to have a place of our own, because you can't do very much outreach if you don't have a building. You can't really have children's work or different meetings during the week. So part of the good thing about that was that we developed the house group, which became the heart of the church. That was where we developed these relationships together. That was where we studied the Bible and where we prayed together, where we supported each other through happiness, happy times in our life, births of children, sad times in our life when babies died, sad times when husbands died, when wives died. I think we can all say that we've all experienced joy and grief with each other. But that was all part of developing our relationship together. So the premise of the fellowship was that we developed really strong relationships together. And there was a lot of teaching done then on commitment, what it meant to be a Christian. And a lot of these people went through discipleship courses that showed them the cost it cost you to be a real disciple of Christ. And I'm sure a lot of them remember that, but I'm sure they'll never forget the commitment, because that was really rammed in. Commitment. So that developed a firm core in the fellowship, a firm core of believers who knew the vision of the fellowship was to be an outreaching church, a church that wasn't inward looking, a church that was outward looking. We've had people here from all over the world to speak, women, men, to speak. We've had them from America, New Zealand. Any of you remember John Bowman from New Zealand? We had, what was her name, that nun, remember, we had from America? Remember, she'd converted to Christianity. She was Barbara Ann, remember? Barbara. She came. We've had people from all over the world, from Africa. We've always been an outward-looking church and always open to hear what God is doing in the world, because God isn't just working here. He's working all over the world. And that is really encouraging to recognize that we're not in isolation, that Jesus has little lights all over the world. We are only one of those little lights. So we were seeking to look for premises. We did various things. We went into looking for different plots, and that was the plan, that we would find another home. So then 2000, George died very suddenly, and that could have been the end of the fellowship. But if God starts something, he carries it on. And Alan and Grace, Alan had been George's assistant, and he stepped forward. Alan and Grace stepped forward into the role. Now, Alan had much darker hair then, and less and less wrinkles like the rest of us. and Grace just looks as beautiful as ever. So Alan and Grace have carried on from 2000. Now, it was a shock to everybody when George died, but I believe that George had fulfilled his purpose, and his purpose was to build the fellowship, to lay a strong foundation, to leave a core of people who really understood what it meant to be a Christian, what it meant to follow Christ. And I believe he had fulfilled his purpose, and it is going to be with the Lord. And he'll be standing in heaven cheering on and saying, look at that, isn't that amazing that they're here and they're still praising God and worshiping God. And somebody said to me, I think it was Eddie, always optimistic Eddie, said, do you think we've been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years? And I said, no, we've been learning for 40 years. God's been teaching us lots and lots of lessons. We've been sowing seed for 40 years. And I really believe that the time has come for the harvest. So I'm really confident that God, when he starts a work, he finishes the work. And he hasn't finished the work yet. We're just in the beginning of the harvest. And if we carry on, we will reap that harvest. But we need to remember how we started. We were to be a radical church. And I think we've lost a bit of that radical edge, I must say. But we can get that back. And our purpose is to be a light in this community and to introduce people to Jesus. So thank you. Thank you for all coming. And thank you for all the support over the last 40 years. And it's just been amazing. Thank you.
Ní hog elf me. You know, it is amazing when you look back and you see the things that God has done. It's good to be reminded of things that God has done and is still doing. And I think that's the essence for us this morning. One of the landmarks in our journey was having a home. As Irene said, it was always part of the vision. It was always something that certainly George had the vision for it, that we would start planning for that. We started a fund which specifically was putting money away to build or whatever. It was going to be called Cornerstone House, was always decided on. So while we were searching around the town for a plot of land where we could build, we faced a number of hurdles that blocked that route. And during this time, we were praying, seeking God for where we should be. Time and time again, it gets stopped, it gets hampered. And we just couldn't find any way forward. But it was Norma had a dream. And it was about a building with pillars inside it. And in the dream, she could see people lined up outside the building. And I thought, that's a great dream. I wonder how that's going to come about, you know. This was before we had this place, before we knew about it. You know, so God had planted a seed at that point. And it's things like that that help drive you forward. They help keep you going, and you know that God has still something more for us. So it was after 24 years of wandering around various council community rooms or schools, as Irene mentioned, that this building actually came to fruition. A former bingo hall with 1,000 seats all lined up with their bingo boards. I don't know the official names, I've never went to bingo. But take my word for it, it was all over the place. This whole place was filled. It used to seat 1,000 people. They're all crammed in. It took the best part of 2 years for refurbishment, most of which was carried out by our own members of the church, their family, their friends. The number of people who came along and helped at that time is amazing. Amazing. You know, they got us to that place that was refurbished, and then they left. They went back. But they had that commitment for that over that 2 years to help us to get to the place that we've got today. It was on the 1st of June 2009 we officially opened, and at first we were meeting in the cafe area upstairs. We had to wait until we get final clearance from the council inspector to open up the lower area. Everything got checked and checked and checked again. It was a bit frustrating at that time. So anyway, it was October 2010 we finally were allowed to meet in this area that we're meeting this morning. And it was during this time when we moved here that Ewan started coming along to the fellowship. We're going to hear from Ewan about what it was that brought him, or brought that about. Come on, Ewan.
I was going to say good morning, but it's actually afternoon. Good afternoon. I first started coming along to the fellowship in the summer of 2009. I'd been in a church that I was very unhappy with, and I just felt there was a lot missing with my walk with the Lord. So I started praying for three things: a church where I could best serve God, where He wanted me to serve Him; a church where the Holy Spirit was present; and a church where people were just open and willing to talk about their faith with God. So I came along with my wife and my son. My wife Gail, my son Callum. First church we came to was Cornerstone. The reason for that is my wonderful neighbours, Jack and Anne-Marie, and their family. That was their church, and I thought, well, it must be okay. So we came along, and like Alan says, you were meeting in the cafe upstairs. And we came in, made very welcome. The service started and the worship started, and my first impressions were, you're all crazy. People were dancing, they were clapping their hands, they were putting their hands in the air, and I'd just been 10 years in the Church of Scotland, and we don't do these things. But it was really exciting for me, and there was a real presence of God, one of the things I was praying for. And speaking to some of you after the service, talking about your faith, talking about Scripture, it was just exciting for me. So we came along again, which wasn't as good the second time. As we walked in, everybody walked out. Not just some, everybody just left. We thought, oh dear, that's not good. But ends up, they were going to a baptism in North Berwick, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah.
So thankfully, it wasn't anything to do with us. So we came back again. Came back a couple of times, actually. We were supposed to be going to other churches, but God kept bringing us back. And I think it was the second or third time that I'd come along. Alan was preaching. He was preaching from Deuteronomy, first chapter. And God really spoke to me through it. It was verse 6 in the first chapter, and it says, "The Lord our God said to us at Horeb, 'You have stayed long enough at this mountain. Break camp and advance into the hill country of the Amorites.'" I know it was Moses talking to the Israelites, but I really felt God speak to me that I was to spend enough time in the place I was in, and this is where I was to come and worship Him. This is where I was to be. So 14 years later, I'm still here. So I just want to thank you, Cornerstone, for your love, your encouragement, your friendliness, and we as a family have been blessed very much from being here. I know my wife, through ill health, doesn't come to church anymore, but she loves Cornerstone, and she's made many good friends here, as I have. My son had a great time as well, through the praise band, through the youth. I've got these notes, I didn't even think I've looked at them. Yes, we were really blessed. So like Eileen says, I feel it's just the beginning for Cornerstone, and I know it's challenging times just now with a lot of churches, but I don't think Jesus is ready to take the lamps away from us yet. Mm-hmm. And I pray that Alan's message this year was, let your light shine. I pray as all of us that our lights will shine in this community, that we will be like a lighthouse shining in the storm and in the darkness for people to see this as a safe place to come to, because it's Jesus' light that shines and it's Him that saves. Thanks for listening.
You know, there's been many trials and things that we've had to face over the years, certainly financially since opening. Times when I genuinely thought that we would have to give up this building. It was that bad. It was so difficult. And something like that would have been absolutely heartbreaking when I know the sacrifices were made by so many people to get to the place where we find ourselves now. On two occasions, we had uplifted special offerings where the generosity of this church was amazing. We raised thousands of pounds, and that sustained us for quite a while. But God also had a plan that He would intervene financially. On two occasions, all of our debts were written off. All of our debts. Now, we are talking lots of thousands here. On one occasion, it was 80,000. There's a lot of money that was written off, just like that. and this was the leaseholder. We were subleasing the place at the time. The leaseholder went into liquidation. So because of that, his company folded. All his debts were written off, including ours. And then from there, the lease then changed into our name. We then became the leaseholders rather than our sublease. And then it was later, one of the landlords, I think we've seen about four landlords off. They've no, went into liquidation, you know, but certainly one of them, one of the landlords of the town centre, also went into liquidation. So again, because of that, all the debts were written off. You couldn't write it. You know, only God, only God. But so all these changes that were happening, a new landlord opened up the opportunity for discussions about us eventually buying this building. So a separate charity was opened to allow this. Also during this time managed to negotiate a much lower service charge. Over a year we were paying some like £80,000 between service charge and lease. And that was a lot of money to try and sustain. You know, so when we look back and we see what God has done, let me tell you, it's a miracle. It is a miracle what He's brought us through. And as a result of that, it's allowed the fellowship and the centre to regain its footing financially. And we've got to give God the thanks for that. And we wouldn't have what we have today if it wasn't for His intervention. So we can certainly relate to 40 years of trials and hardships. And I should mention the COVID pandemic was not a great help either. Not only to us, but all the churches indeed. But I do believe God is leading us into a new chapter, just as we've heard. And that's confirmed it in my spirit when I hear it from other people saying that as well. this new chapter has also seen some new people join with us. And I thought it'd be good to hear from a couple who have recently shared fellowship with us, and I'd like to invite Daniel and Elizabeth to come up and share what they've discovered here. I should say, I hope lunch isn't burnt, because we went a bit longer than we thought we were going to be. It'll be worth the wait. Okay. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. Okay, sorry. Happy Easter to everyone.
Yeah.
I have a very short message and a big thank you for the God. And I was just thinking like what to say because I'm very happy like I'm being a part of this 40 years journey. I think we came to Scotland in September last year, and from October 2nd week we started to come. I mean, God showed the path towards this church, and we were blessed to be part of this family church. And yeah, that's how like I started from October 2nd week. We are being part of this church, and that's what makes me feel good about it. And I was just thinking, like, what's the difference? Because in India, I have come from the southern part of India. And I was just thinking, what is the difference there and what is the difference I feel here personally? One thing is, like, the language changes, of course. and like people change, and I mean everything is changes. But the one thing was like God. He's the head of the church, and His presence and like worshiping Him, it never changed. It remains the same till today.
Yeah. Amen.
And that's what makes me so good about it. And from the day one when I was in this church, I really felt like, okay, God is always with me, and I felt good about it. And that's what made me, I mean, very positive. And church has given me so much of encouragement and fellowship. Alan, thanks to Pastor, and thanks to all the fellowship members. And I mean, I consider everything as a blessings, and thank you so much for all this.
No. We can't tempt Elizabeth to speak. But we've seen some of her work, haven't we? Yeah, thank you. Thank you. So this is an opportunity to move on in what God has taught us over the years. And I'm sure there must be quite a lot, when you look around here, that we must have learned something. There'll be a lot of things that we have learned together over the years that God has taught us. And that together we can re-establish the fellowship and see where God leads us. See where He decides to take us. From the examples I shared at the beginning, the significance of 40 led to a more spiritual awareness, and it opened up ministry. When God destroyed the earth with water, He caused it to rain for 40 days and 40 nights. But afterwards, He promised that will never happen again. They moved into blessing. Moses was on Mount Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights. What did that lead to? Receiving the Ten Commandments from God. The Israelites wandered around the desert for 40 years. The outcome for them was being led to the Promised Land, a home. And before Samson's deliverance, Israel served the Philistine for 40 years. You know, it was only when Samson called out to God were they set free from their captors. Goliath taunted Saul's army for 40 days. And it was after that that David slayed the giant. And again, the people were set free. In the New Testament, Jesus was tempted for 40 days and 40 nights. What followed on from that? His ministry began. His public ministry began. And after Jesus' resurrection, which we celebrate today, He spent 40 more days on earth. Then He ascended into the glory of heaven. So what does God have in store for us now? Well, my prayer is that from the examples we read of in Scripture, the significance of what it is that we have gone through together as the family of God, that will lead us into new discoveries in Christ. Are you up for it? Yeah, thank you. You know, the love of God remains the same regardless of time. Nothing will change the fact of the resurrection of Christ, who died and rose again. That all who would call on His name might be saved from their sin. May God use us to help others in the years that He gives us, for those who have yet to discover the love of Christ for themselves. That is our purpose. That's what it is to be the family of our loving God. I'm reminded that God is the only true constant in our lives. Times, seasons, and people change, but God's love is forever. God's love is forever. In Psalm 136, verses 1 to 3, it says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of hosts. His love endures forever." And I just want to close by saying that I'm truly grateful to God for all that He's done and will continue to do. I'm also grateful to all of you for your continued faithfulness, especially through the hard times, which I personally could not have faced without all of you. All in your different individual ways have been a part of that journey. Now I'm going to break with tradition, something that I seldom mention from the front. In fact, I probably never mention it from the front, is that God has blessed me with a wife who's continually... continually supported me through thick and thin. still does. If I can get through this. She's fulfilled the role that God has called her to. There's no denying that. In many ways, I was trying to think, you know how some people say they were my rock? Grace is my scaffold. Grace is my scaffold. I had to come up with something different, you know. This is my scaffold. Strengthened me when I was weak, when I needed it. Never seeking praise, simply being all that God has asked of her. And you know, for me, that's something that we can all learn from. Simply be what God has asked of you. Simply be a part of what it is that he's called you to be, a part of a family of God. That we can enjoy the praise, the joy, the fellowship that we have, and the heartaches, as Irene mentioned. There's been a lot of them. You know, when I think over the years now, I look through the photographs, you can have a look through them there yourselves later, and I see so many dear, loved people who are no longer with us. But let me tell you, they'll be up there cheering us on. They will be up there cheering us on and continually supporting us. So I want to ask God's blessing on each of us as we move on to whatever the blessings are that he has in store for us, for this fellowship. We've now got 40 years under our belt. 40 years under our belt. God has surely taught us and helped us learn things through that time. So let's seek God and move together in his plan, giving him the praise, the glory, and the honour that he truly deserves. Amen. 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 Let me just pray a blessing over us before John gives us one song to finish. Is that okay? Ran out of time. Let's pray. Father, we come before you with our hearts filled with gratitude because we recognise there is none like you. And when we consider all that you've done and continue to do, we want to give you all the thanks, give you all the glory. Father, we would not be here today if it were not for you. So it just fills us with gratitude. And in that gratitude, Lord, I ask that your blessing would be upon us, that each family, each household that's represented here today will know the blessing of God upon it. And that through that, you will know joy, you will know peace, you will know healing. And that God will indeed move in each of our lives. So may you know his blessing, may you know the blessing of the love of Christ. May he continue to watch over you, keep you safe, and encourage you. Father, we just thank you as we seek your blessing to be upon us now. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Thank you. Let me take you. You've got good staying power as well. Thank you, John.
Let's stand. Let's go out singing with the chorus, He Has Risen. He has risen.
you, John. Thank you, Alan. I will be brief. I understand we have quite a few guests here today. You are all very welcome to stay and enjoy the feast. So please do come and help yourselves. We'd love to break bread with you and enjoy some time with you. I'm going to give thanks. Father, we thank you. You are the provider of all that we have. We ask for your blessing on this food. We ask for your blessing on our time. May you be here among us. May we know your Holy Spirit. May our conversation be pleasing to each other and to you. May we know you're with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please do enjoy.